What's up? What's up? What's up? How you doing?
What it do? We are back on a Tuesday.
That's
Wednesday,
right.
Thursday, Tuesday, Friday, we Saturday, every... Sunday, Monday, whatever the fuck day. You, the most important part of the show, are listening.
That's right. That's right. Welcome back to the Rendero Cinema Espectacular.
That's right.
I hope everyone's well. I hope everyone's doing great. I am still recovering. I'm an old man now. I just realized that. Took me a whole weekend to get over the fucking hangover.
Well, you're fucking going hard, yo.
Boy, oh boy.
Really fucking hard.
I partied hard last Friday.
I hadn't taken shots in a while until that night. So.
Oh, dude, I partied so fucking hard.
Okay, I was supposed to be at work at 4 in the morning. Fucking text my boss. I'm not going to be there. I woke up like maybe 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Just fucking randomly. Dude, everything was spinning. Everything was spinning. I was fucking drunk as shit.
Oh,
no
fuck.
Lie.
How many shots did you have? How many shots did we have?
I had two, but I don't fucking take shots anymore.
Yeah. I don't even know.
And the last one was as I was walking out of the fucking bar, of course, a big ass tequila shot.
That shit was
fucking brutal, man.
Yeah.
Tasted pretty good, but brutal.
Dude,
brutal
she had initially bought it for the wife.
Yeah.
And I told her, I'm like, she don't drink. You know, she gave up that phone, that life.
Good thing, huh? That's fucking amazing.
Yeah. I mean, which is good for her. I mean, like, I understand why. But I mean, like, for sure. I mean, I know that. Oh, man. I remember throwing up right off the exit off ramp. And as I'm vomiting, I'm watching the colors change from yellow to red to green to yellow to red to green to.
All because of the fucking lights, the fucking traffic light.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, the wife is just sitting in the car right there on the off-ramp waiting for me to finish up as I'm just intoxicated. I mean, I will say this. I usually get really sentimental and cry in the car about, like, how much I love my wife and kids. This year I did not do that, though, so I'll chalk it up to not as bad as it could have been. But she did say that I slurred through my rendition of Nirvana's The Man Who Sold the World at the end. She said there was a lot of slurriness from you. I was like, I was... pretty toasty.
I think that's one of the ones that they didn't film. I didn't see that online.
Yeah, no. They recorded me doing the Lonely Island and fucking that up too because I was so drunk I could barely see the words.
Yeah.
I'm on the boat.
It was loud as fuck in there though. So it didn't matter. And
then I opened up with Mary on the Cross by Ghost.
That's who that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My friend Will introduced me to them. Described them as Bon Jovi metal. But because I would say the Ghost is a good entry level for people who are just trying to check out metal and not be so aggressive. Like they have some chunky riffs, but it's typically very operatic in terms of its singing. They do cover a Genesis song, Jesus Knows Me. They're like, Jesus, He Knows Me, and He Knows I'm Right. Like they cover that song.
Is that the one that in the video is like Superman? Look, no,
huh?
In the video is like Superman or some shit.
No, that is Land of Confusion.
Oh yeah,
from the 80s. Yeah. Where he dresses Ronald Reagan as a fucking Muppet and shit, and they have him be Superman.
Yeah,
yeah, that piece of shit. But I mean, we can't really blame
his brother.
We can't blame
Trickle
him
down.
At this point, right? We have to blame everybody who's in power now. But
pretty much.
I mean, but I got fucking plastered. I don't even think I played any games. So I went. We went.
Same. I fucking thought I was gonna play at least something.
Yeah,
I brought cash, which I never fucking carry.
Yeah.
And nope.
No, we were
didn't
just
play
there.
A single fucking thing.
Drinking.
Yep, pretty much.
And it's funny because we went to Player One in North Hollywood. It's a great arcade bar. They got a lot of different games there. They have, you know, karaoke from Thursday
a
through
lot of classic
Sunday.
Games. A lot of they have. It's a fucking overall. There's a lot going on.
There is
at that place all at the same fucking time for sure.
Very loud environment. Yeah. And then it's funny, we went to Pitfire Pizza before for some dinner, which I love Pitfire Pizza. I get the Honey Bear.
My first time there, and it was fucking fire for sure.
And then...
Had the Allagash. I didn't think they fucking would have something like that. It was fucking...
Yeah, no, they're good, man. I like them a lot. I definitely like to go there. But that was pretty much the weekend for me. Then something happened on Sunday or whatever. I don't fucking know.
Before that...
Yeah.
Saw you on the Ring camera, and you were fucking, bro, you were fucking everywhere,
walk. I couldn't walk.
Yeah, I know.
It was hard.
I could see it. And then I guess when you finally got in to your place, I heard a big old boom, like if something fucking fell down. I was like, what the fuck?
I think I dropped something.
You were fucked
up. I knocked into it and
you
I dropped it.
You were fucked up, yo. Damn. I don't think I've ever, I've been like that for sure, but it's been a while.
Do you have that clip? If you can send it to me, I'll post it on the podcast page.
And I'll go through my shit again.
Yeah.
I should have it. I should have it. I was like, fuck, yo, yeah. This food was fucked
toasty.
Up.
Toasty as fuck, I will say. But it was a great time. I celebrated with who I celebrated with. A lot of friends from a lot of different places. You know, just a wonderful
time.
Anybody
from your current spot?
Just one. Just one was able to make it from the current spot. The others flaked on me, but it's okay.
Likeable person or?
Very, very likable.
Who the fuck was it? Did I meet him?
Yeah, you him did, but because of the job, I couldn't tell you who it was. But I'll tell
not
you
on, not on mic, at least.
Not on mic,
you
at
see,
least.
See, fuckers, I get all the juice. Fuck y'all.
But yeah, but it was a great time. I mean, like, I, you know, like the ones that couldn't make it, they reached out and said they couldn't make it. Like yeah. all the different, from like I said, all the different walks of my life.
Yeah, like our sister.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Thanks for showing up.
You know, it's okay. I mean, like, again, you know, like.
I see how much closer.
Yeah, they.
If you're listening to this, I see you.
You know,
JK, hello.
Again, you know, like, well, I always tell people, like, I'm gonna have a good time with whoever's there. If
oh,
you're
fuck
there,
yeah, of course.
If you're
yeah.
there, I'm going to have a great time. If you're not there, I'm also going to have a great time. It just yeah. won't be as great without them there. But it's
it
okay.
It just won't be as great with the moment that you would have with them.
Exactly.
But I'm going to have a great-ass time regardless. I had a yeah. good time, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because, again,
I didn't
like,
fucking know anybody, but it was yeah. fucking great. But besides Ken. Ken's a homie. What's up, the homie? And then the other dude that's the actor. I don't remember his name.
Todd.
I always fucking forget, man.
Todd.
Todd.
Yeah.
I always forget because of Todd, the... dude that was on your podcast before?
Yeah, my old podcast oh, yeah. partner, Todd. Todd yeah. from my Well That Happened days.
That's why.
But I, let me say this. Todd was in, he was cut from the Super Bowl commercial that he had filmed with Schwarzenegger and DeVito. He
oh,
was
for fucking
for
State Farm?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Well, I mean, it happens, you know. Like, yeah, but the thing was is that they do have him on the TikTok page for Jake from State Farm.
Yeah.
And he has a bunch of little sketches from, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff. But he was cut out of the actual commercial. Like when he told me, yeah, you know, if you watch the Super Bowl, I might be in the commercial. I can't tell you what it was. So I asked him afterward, like, hey, what commercial were you on? He's like, I was supposed to be in the State Farm one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, oh, shit. So I went back home, loaded it up on YouTube, watched it. And I was like, were you the fire extinguisher guy? He's like, yes, that was the back of me. He's like, I had lines, but, yeah. you know, for time and everything, I was cut out. But let's talk about the beer of the week. What we got on deck?
Man, the fucking beer of the week is Quilmes. It's a cerveza Argentina.
Argentina.
From Argentina. Beer from Argentina, if you guys don't know what cerveza means or Argentina means. But it's Quilmes. This is a con ingredientes naturales. Para hacer la Quilmes clásica, utilizamos solo ingredientes naturales que crecen en los campos de Argentina. Estos le otorgan a nuestra cerveza su equilibrado sabor, cuerpo, y color.
Hell yeah. Hey, like a true professional, read that in Spanish.
I was trying my best right there, brother. You know I haven't read Spanish in a minute.
We did not have...
a couple years, I'd say.
Google help us with that?
Yeah, did not.
No. Why would I rely on AI?
Cerveza elaborada con malta de cebada. Hold on, I didn't read this fucking part. Cereales y lúpulo. What the fuck is that? Hold on, I need to twist the fucking can. Give me a second. I mean, not the can, the bottle.
Patagónica?
Is
that what it says? I can't miss it.
Yeah, Patagónica, Patagónico.
Patagónico.
De la mejor
Ciudad.
Calidad.
Calidad, yes.
1890.
So.
This is a beer from, obviously, Argentina. I was at the fucking store, saw it, and had to pick it up. It's a beer. It's 4.9% by volume. And let's find out what the fuck it means in English.
Give it a shot. Goes. Not bad. Crisp, refreshing, clean.
Okay, so in English, it's with natural ingredients. To make Quilmes Clásica, we use only natural ingredients that grow in the fields of Argentina. These give our beer its balanced flavor, body, and color.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I will say, like, it's not a bad beer. It's very clean. Yeah, try it right now.
Try it right now, brother.
Give it a shot. I mean, honestly, I obviously have talked a lot of shit about Argentina because I hate their soccer team. I hate Messi because fucking hate him.
Why?
Just because he's Argentinian. those motherfuckers think they're descendants from Germany, and they think they're better than everybody else. And I'm like, guess what, motherfuckers? No. You're still trash like the rest of us.
You're a cocksucker too, brother. See, yes, sir. It is what it is. Oh, also, fucking Super Bowl was this past Sunday.
I did not watch it.
What did you do for Super Bowl Sunday?
What did I do? I've been playing the Xbox that I bought myself, that I treated myself to. I was playing Ori and the Blind Forest, a fantastic platforming Metroidvania style game that's very difficult. That I've been wanting
Metroid?
To play. Metroid, they call it Metroidvania. So they're Metroid style games where when you unlock certain powers, you can access new areas or find new secrets within the world.
Okay.
And Castlevania and Metroid are the biggest games that made this super popular. So whenever games follow that same kind of structure, they call them Metroidvania style games. So, So the game is beautiful, and I've been wanting to play it for a long time and finally bought it for myself on the Xbox Series X and have just been playing the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And swapping between that, Alan Wake 2, taking my time with that game. Fucking incredible.
I heard about that fucking game. I heard it was really good.
I just finished Chapter 4, and it fucking blew my mind with what they fucking did. Like, I was just not expecting it. But you'll have to play it to see it. I would like for you to play the original, the first one.
Both on PS5 or?
They remastered it for the PS4.
So you got the fucking
it's digital
Xbox now.
Yeah.
My bad.
And then, you know, it's digitally available. And I would say the original Alan Wake doesn't hold up as well in terms of some of the gameplay because it's still like very 2006, I think, is when the game out, 2008, something like that. And so like it feels very clunky, very heavy. And so like I would recommend playing it on the easiest setting just so you can get aware of like the weirdness of the story because it's a psychological thriller.
I'd fucking play it on easy no matter what.
Yeah.
I want to have fun.
Yeah.
That whole fucking challenging shit. Yeah. Like, nah. Challenge me with building an IKEA thing or some shit. That's my challenges.
So then Alan Wake 2, when you can jump right into that, it definitely takes a psychological thriller and amps it up to like psychological horror. Like, it's very tense. It's not as scary as I thought it was going to be, but there are moments where I'm, like, really uncomfortable, which I really appreciate. But it's such a weird fucking, like, story. But you have to play it to believe it and understand it. But it feels so refreshing because a lot of games are made to just be, like, basic as fuck. Like, you know, and like, yeah, okay, it's a shooter, but... And it's a horror game, but the idea, the story that revolves around Alan Wake, it's just so fucking smart.
Okay.
Yeah, I dig it a lot.
No, I've heard a lot about that game specifically, which I never even heard of before.
Yeah.
The name is interesting as fuck, too. Alan Wake, I just, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah.
Is that his name, or is he waking up? I don't fucking know, but...
I guess you can do it as both, really, because I mean, like, he's definitely waking up from some sort of nightmare.
It's like a horror fucking type of game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I heard good stuff about that shit.
Yeah, it's fucking great, man. I've played Alan Wake a bunch, like...
I'll probably never play it, but...
A bunch.
It's good to hear about it.
It's fucking great, man. Like, honestly, to me... You know, like I was telling you, Max Payne 2, right? I bought it for the Xbox.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those games. The same company, they would have had Max Payne be part of the realm of Alan Wake. Like, Alan Wake would have been the writer of Max Payne.
Yeah, yeah.
But because Rockstar owns the intellectual property, the detective that they created was Alex Casey instead. But it's Max Payne. Like, the way that he talks and the cadence of everything, it's definitely him. All their games kind of like touch on each other. There's the game Control that is also very brilliant, and that is an.
So this game is connected to Max Payne.
Max Payne. It's connected. Well, it's connected
in
to
what,
Max
in,
Payne.
In what way? Like, I don't understand.
Alan Wake is the author of the Max Payne books, but because Rockstar owns Max Payne, they went with Alex Casey. Yeah, and so and then they have another game called Control that came out in 2000.
Gotta get paid, Holmes. You know.
Yeah, they
find that loophole.
Yeah, there was a game that came out in 2017 called Control.
Yeah,
which is about alternate dimensions and darkness realms invading. It's an action shooter. And that touches with Alan Wake because the Federal Bureau of Control exists in the world of Alan Wake. And they study supernatural shit, which is what he is.
Yeah.
Like, his world is all supernatural based in the real world and this dark energy trying to invade our world and take it over. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But these motherfuckers, they use live cutscenes. They use animation, obviously. And the game is just fucking gorgeous. And Control is amazing as well. Like, I think Remedy is one of those game companies that they are doing shit that they feel like they want to do while still pushing, like, this really intelligent envelope about, like, what storytelling can be.
Yeah.
I dig them. I dig them a lot.
Okay.
But let's talk about our first film.
Which one you want to talk about first?
We're going to talk about the one that you picked. We're going to go with The Baker from 2022, starring Ron Perlman, Elias Cotes, Harvey Keitel makes an appearance, Joel David Moore from Grandma's Boy makes an appearance.
Yeah.
And then you have Emma Ho playing Delphi.
Well, he's from your fucking favorite movie too, Avatar, no?
Oh, I love him in Avatar. Yeah. He's the scientist who, he dies, right?
No, he's in part 2.
Is he in part 2? He's in part 2. I don't remember. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's the scientist friend still, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
He's fucking one of the fucking blue dudes. And I was like, what the fuck?
He's like, I'm an avatar now.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So the movie here is about a man who, I would say, escaped his life as a vicious enforcer for the mob.
Yeah.
And he decided
like
to run.
Like a sicario for the mob.
Yeah, and then he decided to become a baker. It's directed by Jonathan Sobel. Yeah. Written by Thomas Mitchell and Paolo Mancini. But let's talk about it. I mean, like, what are your thoughts on the film? Like when you picked it, like, what drew your attention to, like, this film? Like,
what drew my attention to was the synopsis, in a sense, where I just read it and I was like, well, I like Ron Perlman. I see that it's kind of like a John Wick-esque synopsis, what they were describing. So that's really the only reason. I didn't have anything else to pick, man.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there's nothing else fucking that I wanted to watch or that you had access to, in a sense.
Yeah, in terms of being able to pay or whatever.
Yeah, I had to pick something. This is what it was.
Yeah. And your thoughts of the film?
Fuck, man. Brutal. Brutal. Brutal to watch. I feel like when that one dude from Avatar, whatever the fuck his name is.
Joel David Moore.
Yeah, he keeps you watching the screen and he kind of exudes that star type of thing, in a sense. You know what I mean? His energy is definitely there. He plays his character perfectly, in a sense, where it's not the most diverse character, of course, but I feel like that was fine. I feel like Ron Perlman was fine. Harvey Keitel, fucking
Harvey Keitel was just dialing it in. He's just, I'm playing Harvey Keitel.
Fucking Casey, the fucking dude that plays
Vic?
Isn't that Casey from fucking the original Ninja Turtles?
Oh, you know what? I think
it is.
I think you might be right. Yeah, it is. You're right. 100%. It is Casey Jones.
Yeah,
that's
Casey
right.
Jones fucking was cool. I liked him in the fucking film. I liked the fact that he was in a newer film. You know, he's not fucking.
Yeah, he was also
anymore.
I think he was also the assassin and shooter.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, and then he's also in the film The Thin Red Line. But I hate that movie. I know people. I had a professor tell me that The Thin Red Line was better than Saving Private Ryan, and I told them, I need you to stop, look in the mirror, and start questioning your life, because you're absolutely wrong.
I've never seen that fucking movie, and
it's boring as fuck.
Yeah, I've seen parts, like bits of it. Fuck no.
Yeah, like it's beautifully shot. Like, don't get me wrong. The Thin Red Line is beautifully shot.
Yeah, but how many things are beautifully shot?
My fucking God, was I bored out of my fucking mind.
Even Michael Bay has beautiful shots, but that's about it.
Yeah. No, you're right.
He's good with the camera.
Yeah, and that's how I felt about that movie. But I mean, like, regardless, we're talking about The Baker, which, I mean, I guess I think goes to show, like, how it sucks because, like, you know, you have Ron Perlman, who's a very charismatic actor, and I felt like he felt the writing was bad. Like, he felt like he delivered the lines just kind of like, hey, kid, let's go. Come on, kid.
To me, he kind of seems like a dead persona.
Yeah.
No, nothing in him. He just doesn't care. He doesn't care about what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And the little girl kind of brings that out of him. slowly throughout the film, of course, yeah. which is obviously a plot point. But
a very, very weak plot yeah. point. I mean, like, I mean, I get it. Like, the girl doesn't talk. She lost her mom in a tragic accident, I think, if I remember correctly. They talk about it. They don't actually show anything. Yeah. So, like, you just have this young girl, you know, mutely signaling stuff and going,
Yeah, she hates her own father, and for some reason that you don't really know.
Yeah, they don't touch on that.
Yeah, they don't touch on that. They don't touch on the fucking fact that his dad, Ron Perlman, disappeared, I guess, when he was a kid.
Yeah, he estranged from the family yeah. and tracks
for obvious
him down.
Reasons, which you find out as the film progresses. But then by that point, the fucking spoiler, the kid's, you know, his son is dead. Where the fuck Avatar guy is dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Vic. Not Vic. His name is Peter in the film.
Yeah, Peter.
But also, it just, you know, the idea of his search for his son just felt dragged out.
Yeah,
like it
sure.
took forever to get to the point. I don't think you get your first fight scene in this movie that's an hour and 46 minutes. You don't get your first fight scene until about an hour in. Almost an hour in.
Really?
Oh, wait, no.
Nah.
That was the big fight scene when he's in the rain with the yeah. guy. Sorry. So there was a fight scene. Or I wouldn't even say a fight scene earlier, but like, there's moments of violence, but
I can't remember. I can't
it's
remember
hard.
The fucking
it's,
first
it's really,
fight scene
it's really
at
hard.
All.
I want to feel. I want to say like I felt like it was like an hour had passed, but maybe I'm just. It was so boring for me that I. That's how I remember it.
No, it was kind of quick. It was like maybe 25 minutes.
Yeah, I 20 remember
minutes, something like that.
I remember my youngest was watching a part of it, and she's like, "Why is he punching so slow?" And I'm like, "Well, honey, Ron Perlman's like 75.
Yeah,
you know he can't do that." My friend Sean, he told me, yeah, dude, he's like, it's like what they did with Picard. Like when the action sequences happened, they would like conveniently like have Picard like lie down somewhere, and all the young actors would take like all the more extraneous like acting, and they would just have, I keep calling him Jean-Luc Picard. What's the actor's name?
The fucking
not Ian McKellen,
bald,
but his homeboy,
bald guy.
Yes, so bald guy. He's
Star
just
Trek,
like,
what is that? Star Trek.
Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Yeah,
Patrick Stewart. Fucking find the top of my head. And he's just like shooting. Beep beep.
Well, fucking me personally, I think that's probably the best.
The best way to handle
the best,
it.
Yeah, the best way yeah. to handle it. Just give a motherfucker a gun. He's a badass fucking shooter.
Yeah,
that's probably the best way to go. About
it would have been fucking cool. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
But this movie was just like, I'm gonna slow drag this out. So it was really painful. Like it was really painful to watch. And I mean, you know, the thing is, you have a good cast here. I mean, like, it's not a bad cast. You have a pretty good stacked deck of actors. If you gave them something to chew on.
Some shit was a little too, like, too outlandish, I felt like. This was fucking up these
younger dudes. Yeah.
And nothing, just fucking skating away, pretty much.
I started laughing when he was fighting in the fucking bakery van. Because they purposely hide the stuntman's face. And you want me to believe it's Ron Perlman. And it's the only time that the action is flying like at a million miles a second.
Yeah.
It was fucking absurd.
Yeah, but I feel like, the movie had a weird pace in a sense too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because at times it was like, you could watch it and like be paying attention and it fucking keeps you like there because you're trying to like just, you're trying to get through it in a sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
fuck no, man.
No,
it's a tough watch for sure.
Oh, it's rough.
For sure.
It's rough.
That little girl, she's a good actor for not saying any words, I feel, at least.
Again, I felt like, yeah, I mean, like, you have this young woman, this young kid, like, really trying, but you give her nothing. Nothing at all. You know, like, so she's trying her best without speaking lines. And it's like, did you not give her speaking lines? Because the moment she speaks, there's a certain rule, right, where if you speak a certain number of lines, you get paid SAG-level prices. And so because she's a child star and she's in the film, you only have her say, I like this song.
Yeah.
And that's four words. And I think that, like, the limit is five. And that's just how the movie ends.
And that was at the fucking very end of the fucking film, like, literally the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, I just felt like, man, this poor girl is just like, all right, how do I act scared? Like, I can't emote.
Oh, she was like, I'm glad I'm in a movie.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be mute. Like, what? I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's tough.
The movie was a tough watch for sure.
The movie is definitely a tough watch.
Tough watch, but
I definitely don't recommend it.
You
don't
say,
recommend
but go ahead and skip it, you know?
Skip, for sure.
You could do something better with your time and your life,
yeah,
for sure.
You're never going to get your time back.
Ron Perlman isn't...
It's not his fault. It's yeah. not... Again, it, you know, you pick the projects that they're offering you and you go with it.
Yeah. And he's not in fucking Sons of Anarchy.
No.
He wasn't that good in that either, so...
No,
it surprised me.
You know, I think he was. I would say he was good the first season, but after that, it just felt like, oh wow, you're just dialing it in now.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, I think he was just busy with other stuff. I imagine. I don't know.
Do Hellboy 3?
He wants to. He's been wanting to forever, but Guillermo del Toro's like, nah, we're done. I think the studio just annoyed the shit out of him when it came to Hellboy 2.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, I just don't want to deal with it anymore. But let's talk about our next film because again, I'm going with my. Nominated films for the Academy Awards. I want to try to watch as many of these as possible.
When the fuck are they?
March 10th.
Ah, okay.
They're delayed because of the writer's strike.
Fucking lock them in then, huh?
Yeah. So we have Maestro, starring Bradley Cooper, written and directed by Bradley Cooper and Josh Singer. And then you have Carey Mulligan, Matt Bomer. It's stacked. Michael Urie, in terms of like a lot of the newer actors that are coming up and above. 2 hours and I would say like 20 minutes or something like that. And it's about the composer, Leonard Bernstein, responsible for West Side Story, some of the music there, Guys and Dolls, and a lot of different, like this guy has been
an actual famous composer.
An American composer.
Yeah.
There was a lot of criticism for Bradley Cooper about putting on Jewish face because of the prosthetic of the nose. But apparently he had received permission from the family. Like the family came forward and said, he asked for permission. We gave him permission. And that like died down, you know, because the thing is like, you know, when people have put on Jewish face, it's been to insult the Jewish people. And like,
what race is he?
Bradley Cooper is just a Canadian, I think.
Okay.
But that's the thing. Like, you know, the fact is that typically when you've seen people in Jewish faces to play like caricatures of the Jewish stereotypes that exist on people. It's the same thing like fucking, what is it, Michael Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's. He plays a Japanese man and he fucking, you know, he has the squinted eyes and just exact, you know, and it was the 60s, right? Like, but it's the example of like the kind of shit that Hollywood has done.
Yeah.
So I think like Bradley Cooper went to great pains to learn about this man's life. Like he said, it was 6 years learning how to be a conductor so he could really present the aspects of Leonard Bernstein accurately.
Yeah.
You know, like I know that he got
into... What did you think of that part of his...
From his conducting, it looked like a conductor conducts. For me, as a normal layman, I wouldn't know one way or another, like, what conducting looks like. I also have the same thing of, like, you know, you do this, and you're like... And I know the conductor is mostly trying to flesh out the performance from the instrument players. Like, he's leading them on in times and syncing, and, like, when somebody needs to be a little bit louder or come in a little bit more authentically, like, right, like, at the end when he's talking to the student, he's, like, showing him, like, no, I think this is what you're trying to do. You're trying to bring him in this way, but how you're doing your hand signals, you're not letting them know this is how I want you to come in.
Yeah.
So he kept on making him go back and then finally showed him, is this what you mean? He's like, yeah, that's exactly what I meant. You know, and so, like, that's the thing. Like, you're really, that's the conduction of the sounds that you're having blast in the audience. How loud, how paced, how aggressive, all that stuff, right? And you're flowing with the music, trying to bring out the best performances from the... But again, I wouldn't know that. Like, I think I understand it a little bit better watching that segment, which I thought that moment in the film very clarified, like, how a conductor operates and why they're so important in, you know, classical music. But, I mean, was it really something that needed to happen? I don't know. I don't make those decisions. He made a decision as a director. But I will, like...
For me, it didn't feel like it, at least.
Yeah.
It felt like it was unnecessary because... I don't know. Some of the scenes were like, what the fuck did you see this for?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I didn't get. But the film itself together as it was going, it was pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
It wasn't slow, like in a crazy way where it makes you fucking want to like get on your phone or ignore it.
No. Yeah.
It did take me 2 days to get through it, but only because I work fucking strange hours, so I fell asleep.
Yeah, of course. No, but I mean,
I enjoyed the acting. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the pace of the film in a sense. I do think there were slow parts in the fucking film, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like for me, like I will say, like I enjoyed the film.
Yeah,
I did enjoy it. I thought it was beautifully handled. Like I think Bradley Cooper has really started to learn, and really, I mean, like he's a solid director. Like I don't want to say that he's not, but for me, I feel like in Maestro, he definitely found his rhythm. His visual style, like it felt very like, okay, you're very confident when it comes to making this film.
Yeah,
it's very confidently made. Some of the transition ideas, like when you know, she was talking to him about I'm just an actress, when Carey Mulligan and him were first like starting to date, and she crossed over on him, and he does that pan swipe, right? So she's the actress, like the understudy, and it swipes to her being the lead actress in the role for the play. I thought that was a very well handled shot and pretty evenly handled. I think her placement was a little off coming into the transition and how he edited it in, but no one else is going to tell. But I do want to say this. I know that Carey Mulligan, I've seen her in a lot of different things, but she's never, I don't know if she's never stood out to me or she's just kind of there for me mentally. Like, I don't know what it is. But, like, I know I've seen her in other things. You know, she's in Drive.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And, like, but I never thought about her, like, as a super strong actress. Like, I know people keep telling me, like, I should watch Promising Young Woman, which is who did Saltburn as well, the director of that.
Okay.
You know, and
I was going to say I never heard of that film, but I also don't.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know me, I'm always deep diving into like the filmography of actors. And so like, you know, like I know I've seen her and stuff, but she's just never, I don't know what it is. She's just never stood out to me as an actress, but she did her job. Yeah. But I want to say in this movie though, she fucking killed it.
Yeah, for
sure. The emotional highs, the emotional lows, the nuance, the hatred she has for Bernstein at a period in her life, but also the love that she has for him. The sadness that dwells in her, knowing that this is somebody that she adores, but he's never going to love her as she loves him, right? Because he was a closeted homosexual during that period of time, very dangerous, could ruin his entire life and his goals. And so he had to hide it. And she, you know, supported it. She was like, hey, I just ask you to keep it secret. And it wasn't until it started interfering with his oldest daughter, played by Maya Hawke, that, you know, like it started to really grind the gears of it. Like he was just being too obvious about it.
Yeah.
And she's like, motherfucker, do you not respect me? Like, I respect it. I get it. She's like, you know, I'm not your cup of tea, but you still like me.
Yeah.
You still love me and care about me as a person, but like, fucker, like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And like, you know, her performance, honestly, dude, like with the cancer sequence, I was devastated by her performance.
Yeah.
Her performance in that moment. I mean, like, just the whole movie, but during that segment, just, my God, Carey Mulligan put on a fucking show. I think that nomination is easily deserved. I don't, again, I need to keep watching films and to decide, like, do I think that she deserves to win for her category? But I mean, just fantastic, fantastic work by her. I would say the weakest thing about the film for me is that it just, the same thing with Rustin, right? It just feels like a biopic.
Okay.
Like it doesn't do anything super like unique or experimental. It plays it pretty straight. You know, the rising star, the abuse of drugs and alcohol that leads to his downfall in his relationships, the reconnecting, the personal tragedy, and the somehow finding a way to continue on through that loss.
Yeah.
And so I just felt like, okay, you played it really safe in terms of like the film's, you know, entire look. But the performances in the film were strong enough to help carry that and at least elevate it a little bit higher. Like I would say, like, I can see why Bradley Cooper got nominated for Best Actor in the lead role. I can see why, I mean, Carey Mulligan easily deserves it. But I felt like a lot of the sequences, they just felt a little too safe for me. Not even the moments, not moment to moment, but the overall, like, how it flowed.
Yeah.
And so I think that's my biggest complaint about this movie. Okay. But I mean, Leonard Bernstein is a fucking masterful composer.
Yeah.
Like, they use all his songs, like the songs that he created.
I didn't even know who the fuck he was until...
Yeah, until the movie?
Yeah, until I watched this. And then yeah. I was like, when I saw it come up as a... this song by Leonard Bernstein, it starts to play under the captions. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And again, I was like, oh shit, this, they're actually fucking playing this fool's shit right now.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, so I like that. But yeah. I just, like I said, the pace wasn't that bad. The pace just kind of fucked up here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Acting was on point, of course. But I don't know, man. For me, it felt like it was a deterioration of a brilliant mind, in a sense.
Yeah.
And how he kind of like ruins his inner life trying to exude an outer life. I don't know how to explain that, but he says it in the movie, and that made a lot of sense to me when he says that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're talking about, you know, I mean, his biggest film composer, right, is like West Side Story.
Yeah, which I've never seen.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a musical, but he's just done so much stuff like video, music department, like direction, stuff like that. Like he's just. I mean, he's a pretty big deal in terms of, like, all that stuff. Like, yeah. You work with some of the, you know, like, you saw how big he was when it came to, like, the industry of, like, classical music and all that stuff. And just, like, fuck. I mean, like, I'm going through his fucking IMDb of shit. And it's just stacked.
It also seems like in that world, you kind of have to be a certain... stature, I guess.
Yeah.
To be put out in front of an audience and actually be glorified as a composer. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like, dude, I mean, there's just stuff here that, like, on the town, you know, based on the musical play, like, it just, all the television shows, TV movies, composing jobs, like, he directed the New York Philharmonic's Young People's Concert, which is a television series that he was working on. In London, he, you know, orchestrated stuff there. Like, he's worked with, just looking at this fucking thing, it's just, the man's work is fucking just.
It covered fucking all sorts of fucking places.
All sorts of stuff. So, I mean, the thing is, like, you know, it's a very interesting look at a man's life during a period of time. But again, like, it feels like a biopic. It's the same, you know, it's like when I tell people I don't like Bohemian Rhapsody, it's not because I think Rami Malek sucked or I thought the movie was terribly bad. It's just, the thing is, like, it just felt like you guys were going through the greatest hits of the movie and like the rising star, the falling, the reconciliation, and then the big like last concert, which I will say this, Maestro didn't do that. Maestro, once a personal tragedy came, it was like, oh, well, I'm just kind of surviving. Like this person was a big inspiration for me as well. And like, yeah, you know, like I loved her, but I couldn't love her as much as I wanted to love her, but she brought out more musical shit from me. And like once she was gone, you could tell like there was like this just, it's kind of like solemn, like I miss her permanently and I'm just
like a decline,
like a decline,
stagnant type of type of moment.
You know, and so I mean like and that's I think what like the movie does really well. I think the journey between these two people that knew each other and loved each other and had the struggles of like, this is who I am. I like, you know, I enjoy the company of men.
Yeah.
It's just like, but she understood it, right? Or she accepted it, or at least turned a blind eye to it as long as it didn't affect her. I don't know. Like, again, like the sadness of her, like not being loved completely. Like, I think like she also carried that and she didn't realize it, right? Like what did she say? Like, I loved him, but he was never going to love me how I wanted him to love me.
Yeah.
And so like, that was the thing, I did enjoy how they focused on her too. Like it wasn't just a one sided thing.
And I like how they do the color in the beginning, then black and white throughout most of the film, and then goes back to color again.
Yeah,
it's like more dated, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the movie is strong. But again, it just feels like a biopic.
Yeah,
the biggest harm. But
well made for the most part.
Well made.
For me, I can say that. In the most basic way, it was a good fucking movie, dude. It was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, definitely recommends here from both of us on this film. It is on Netflix.
So it's free.
You know.
Don't
yes,
forget.
It's free. Don't forget, it's free on Netflix. But let's talk about tidbits, if you have any.
Not really, man. Not really this week, man. We got fucking a very, very, very slow week.
All right. So
Well, if you guys are trying to break up tomorrow, which is Valentine's Day.
That's right. That corporate
Pizza
holiday.
Hut is offering a breakup pies for Valentine's Day. So I know those things kind of come up abruptly. So, you know, you still got a chance. And then the Cheez-It Crunch Wrap is coming to Taco Bell.
Oh, nice.
And that is all the tidbits we got.
I will say this. You know what my wife and I have planned for Valentine's Day?
What?
We're going to go to Costco because the last year we went on Valentine's Day and there was almost nobody there. And so it was the perfect time for going to Costco because all these fucking...
Empty as fuck?
It was pretty empty. I would say surprisingly empty. Like, I was very surprised, but I also was like, oh, yeah. People are buying into that corporate nonsense of like, hey, you have to tell them you love them.
Yeah.
You know, and I've never been a big celebrator of it. Like, you know, I tried to show my love throughout the year because that's what matters, you know, remind them.
Of course.
But if you need the day, if you need Valentine's Day to remind you to tell your significant other that you love them, by all means, do so. It's just not for me. But if you need it, or if it helps you, or if it's part of just how the relationship functions, hey man, hey, for sure, go for it. Like not a problem.
Do your thing, 21. Do your thing.
So now we're gonna talk about the films for next week. We got two films on deck. We're gonna be watching The Iron Claw, starring Zac Efron and Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah. And The Bear.
And then from The Bear, and then we're watching Past Lives, starring Greta Lee. And I'm excited. I'm excited for these two films. I mean,
they should be pretty fucking good, but we don't.
I've heard good things. Okay. You know. So I mean, I will. We'll have our thoughts ready for you guys next week. As always, you can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. We are the Renderos Bros for the time being. I'm not sure what we're gonna change our name to. Don't forget it. Please rate and review us there. We do appreciate it. You can find us individually on our Instagram page as Render Me Sam.
I'm Hollywood Mike with a double I in Mike.
If my brother finds the video and he sends it to me, I will post it on the podcast page, the Renderos Bros. Watch my stumble. I was fucking plastered.
He was fucking going, yo.
Oh, I could not stand. It was like, tough.
Whoa. Nope.
But all right, guys. We'll catch you guys next week. Stay safe out there. Remember...
Wear your mask if you want to. Wash that ass.
Yeah.
Wash your hands if you like.
Yeah, if anybody gives you a hard time about wearing a mask in public places, fuck them. They don't
fucking
understand.
Review us. Fuck?
Review
Do
us.
Do something with your downtime.
Yeah, review us. I want you to write a 3-page essay about how awesome I am and Mike is.
That's right. While you're sitting on the throne.
Yeah, while you're sitting on the throne.
Write a review.
All right, guys.
Some light.
We'll catch you guys next week. Stay safe.
Bye.